your Bibles today and turn to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24, I've preached on this several times, especially for the 4th of July, Independence Day, to recognize what Israel went through and what we go through. And so I think it's a good scenario to look at those verses and just kind of dig deeper and deeper and recognize what God had in store for them and really what God has in store for any people that will put Him first in their life and any nation that will do the same. So I think it's a good scenario for us to look at this morning. So Joshua chapter 24, I'm going to read verses 1 through 15. Joshua 24, 1 through 15. Here's what the Bible says. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied a seed and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob to his children went down into Egypt. I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did amongst them. And afterwards I brought you out. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and ye came out into the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them, and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt. And ye dwelt along in the wilderness a long season, and I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side of Jordan. And they fought with you, and I gave them to your hand, that you might possess their land. And I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel, and sent and called Balaam the son of Beor to curse you. But I would not hearken to Balaam. Therefore he blessed you still, so I delivered you out of his hand. And you went over Jordan and came into Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I delivered them into your hands. And I sent the hornet before you, and drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword, nor with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and you dwell in them, and of the vineyards and olive yards which ye have not planted not, you do eat. Now therefore, fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the god of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Father, we come before you to say thank you, Lord, for this nation that you have made. You have brought us out and set us upon a place that we may be distinguished and lifted up high and holy to simply proclaim your name. Lord, help us to recognize when we lose that thought, when we lose that sight of that and our mission that you called us to be, how, Lord, you will simply take that away from us. And Lord, I pray that you would be ever so evident in our life, that we would stand forth and be strong and be counted, that we may again serve you. Lord, I pray for me in the next few minutes that you give me focus and direction, that you let me say the things that are needful and necessary. Lord, I pray for all of us in this house today that you would bring great conviction, that we may live a life that would honor you, and that we would turn from our ways that are not good and turn back to your ways that are, and that we would choose this day to serve you. Lord, I pray that you bless the reading of your word, and thank you for your promise that when your word is read, it will not come back void. In the name of Jesus, I pray, amen. Well, I think I told you this before about W.C. Blue. He may not look like it, but he is a scholar and a historian in his own right. He loves American history. Matter of fact, not too many years ago, he was asked to come down to the schoolhouse and talk to this fourth grade class about the U.S. history and some of the things that took place in the early beginnings. And so he began to lecture them on the early Americans and how things went. Matter of fact, he got to a point, he says, how many of you now can name the states of America? And I mean, they could only just name a few. And so he kind of chastised them. He said, I can't believe that. When I was your age, I can name all the states. And one little fourth grader says, yes, sir, because when you were our age, there were only 13 states. I'm thankful that if you look back in our country today, how great we have become because of the hand of God. If you look back at how our start took place, way back when, as they began to settle this place, there was 13 colonies. But on the 4th of July, that we now call Independence Day, they celebrated their independence. They became a sovereign nation apart from Great Britain and the rest of the world. They became a nation set on this foundation of the principles of God. Not just principles of God, but Christian principles. And so in so many ways today, we are unique because of that. And God has promoted freedom and liberty in this country for the last many years. But it seems over the last 244 years, we're beginning to lose our uniqueness and starting to live like the worlds around us, not living as God's people anymore, but a people that have turned and fallen things that are not good. The scary part is, as we can look in the Bible and see, just like the nation of Israel that was established by God, when they did good, God blessed, and when they did not do good, God simply chastised. And so we see today our same nation following the same path as we have gotten away from the things that God has said is good and now hanging on a path of chastisement. And we recognize how good it could be if we'd simply trust the Lord. The psalmist said in Psalms 33:12, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance." Let me read a few more verses down. Psalms 33:22 says, "Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee." I want you to see today as we look at Joshua, he had a hope in Christ Jesus, or a hope in God the Father. He had a hope that God would establish the nation, and his desire was for the nation of Israel to follow the Lord, and in doing so, they would be greatly blessed. And so as we look at our nation today, let us look back at Israel and their nation, and then take it a step further and look not just as a nation, but as a person or an individual ourselves. So look at some things in this passage. First, a godly nation in its start. A godly nation in its start. If you read verse 2, it says, "And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel." Now jump to verse 3, it says, "And I took your father Abraham." And so we recognize right off the bat that Joshua understood that God had established the nation of Israel. He took Abraham from a land that was served false gods and brought him out. And we recognize that this nation started by the hand of God. Matter of fact, if you look, you recognize from verse 3 to verse 13, 10 different times, God said, "I." Verse 3, "I took." Verse 4, "I gave." Verse 5, "I sent." Verse 6, "I brought." Verse 7, "Your eyes have seen what I've done." And really, verse 10 kind of defines that, "I delivered you." Joshua 24 makes it clear that God established the nation of Israel. And I think we could go a step further and recognize that he established that nation, and so he's established ours as well. If you don't believe us, you just simply go back to the founding fathers and look at those things that they wrote. Look at the things that they talked about. The founding fathers, there were 55 men who formed the Constitution. 52 were active members of their church. We could talk about Noah Webster, who wrote the first dictionary, could literally quote the whole Bible. James Madison said, "We've staked our future on our ability to follow the Ten Commandments with all of our heart." George Washington said in his farewell address, "You can't have a national morality apart from a religious principle." You begin to look at the states and their preambles that spoke about what they believed. Notice a few of these, and you've heard me say these before, but listen to this. The preamble of Alabama in 1901 was established, and it said, "We, the people of the state of Alabama, invoking favor and guidance of Almighty God, do ordain and establish the following constitution." The preamble of Florida, established in 1845, "We, the people of the state of Florida, grateful to Almighty God." The preamble of Georgia in 1777, "We the people of Georgia relying on protection and guidance of an almighty God." Tennessee in 1796, their constitutional preamble, "That all men have a natural and indefeasible right to worship almighty God." Virginia, 1776, in their Bill of Rights, "Religion or duty which we owe to our Creator." And you look at some of the different amendments. Amendment 1, "Congress shall pass no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise right thereof." We have a nation built on the principle that recognized an almighty God that had ordained this place that we should live. Israel got away from its maker and redeemer, and I'm afraid that America is heading the same path, and because of that, we can expect the same outcomes. So the question is that we need to really see is, how about our lives? We can talk about Israel, we can talk about the nation, but we really only have an answer for our lives. Can you say today that you had a start in the Almighty, that you had Christ as your Lord and Savior? Jesus said in John chapter 3, he said this, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." In other words, a reset. When my brother said that word, I said, there you go. I like that. Man, we mess up in life at times. And praise the Lord, he gives us a chance to reset in Christ Jesus. We have a new beginning. Peter said it like this, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God. We need to recognize that we must have a right start. And if we don't have a right start, we will not have the right finish. So answer the question today. Have you had a start in Christ? Have you ever come to a point when you said, Lord Jesus, save me? That is the only way to have a start or a new birth in Christ. For him to be evident in your life. For you to begin with him. For you to be founded on those principles that God has established in the Word of God. I'm telling you, Israel started well, but I wonder how they're going to finish. America started well. I wonder how they will finish. We in Christ Jesus have started well, and by the power of God, we will finish well. We need that right start. And so a godly nation has its start, but secondly, a godly nation and its security. And so we look at this nation that was born of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and moved them in the right place. And so if you go to verse 8, it says, and I brought you into the land of the Amorites. So God's going to give this nation a pathway, which I think he will give all of us a pathway. But God gives them a pathway in verse 8. I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side of Jordan, and they fought with you, and I gave them into your hands, that ye might possess their land, and I destroyed them from before you. And so God gives them direction. God gives them leadership. God moves them in the right place. Sometimes God moves them away from danger or away from trouble. And sometimes God faces them directly toward it. Sometimes God wants to keep them out of the hammer's way. But sometimes God wants them to be the hammer. And so in our lives today, we recognize sometimes God moves us in different directions. Just know this, when God's leading, it will be okay. I like the thought about God's leading, and perhaps the greatest example in the Bible is in Exodus chapter 13, as Joshua remembers back in the days of the wilderness. Exodus 13 verse 21 says, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them by the right way, by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and by night. In other words, God was leading both day and night continually. Exodus 40 verse 38, for the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. It's amazing when you look how they were led by the hand of God. We need that same thing in America today. We've sung the song before many times. God bless America, the land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. Oh, how we need to be a people that are aware of the leadership of God and follow his direction. He so longs for us as a country to get back to his way. He so longs for us as a country to follow in those steps that he's laid for us. I wonder, will America still let her lead, be led by the Lord? If not, we're in great trouble. But maybe the greater question is, how about individuals? Will we as God's people be led by the hand of God? He has a great path for us. I keep thinking sometimes about, are we on the path? And let me just tell you, I'm here to confess, at times in my life, I've gotten off the path. I've gotten into a direction I should not have been. There's been times in my life that I've strayed, but the chastisement of God, the goodness of God always directs me back. So let me encourage you to recognize the hand of God in your life and to follow him. Let me say that his way is best. It is much better than your way. Can you say that you're on the right path? Can you say in truthfulness this morning in the Lord's house that I am on that path? If not, simply call out to God and say, Lord, lead me in the way I should be. And so in this great time of security, God gave them a pathway, but not just a pathway, but also provision. Notice verse 7. And when they cried to the Lord, he put darkness between the Egyptians and brought them to the sea. And he covered them, and your eyes have seen what I've done in Egypt. And here's the part, and ye dwelt in the wilderness a long season. Now, if you know your history, what God did for 40 years, he led them in the wilderness. Something unique happened in that place. I know there was some punishment there because of what they did. But lo and behold, he sustained them with food and clothing. He sustained them for those 40 years. It's amazing. You look out there and what God did. He took care of his people in the wilderness. Here's two things again. One, their clothing. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 5. I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxing old upon you, and thy shoes is not waxing upon thy foot. How would you like to buy your kids shoes that last for 40 years? Amen. And your clothes. Now the Lord, I'm here to testify. This suit is 24 years old. Amen. I'm telling the Lord bless it. Amen. Somebody said, well, you need a new suit. Amen. But I'm just telling you, God provides in great ways. For 40 years, they didn't have to go to Walmart and buy new shoes or new clothes. God blessed them. Why? Because God had led them to that place. It was a supernatural time that they had in their life. Not just their clothing, but now their child. That's just another C word there. You know how I am. Their food, Exodus 16, verse 35. And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years. Till they came to the land of inhabited, they did eat manna. And they came to the border of the land of Canaan. If you know the stories, every day except for the Sabbath day, they got up. And God had covered the ground with food in the wilderness where there was nothing. God fed them and provided for them every day because they simply trusted God. In a land that was barren, if you've ever been in that part of the country, if you've ever seen pictures, there's nothing out there. Somebody did a figure of how many boxcars on a train it would take to feed these 2 to 4 million people. And it is mind-boggling. And yet daily, God sustained them. Why? Because they were following their lead. God gave them provision. But that's not the only thing. He gave them a pathway. He gave them provision. But he also gave them power to overcome. Let me get back to verse 8. I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwell on the other side, and they fought with you. I gave them into your hands that you might possess their land. I destroyed them. Let me remind you that God gave them the power to overcome. God gave them the power to face the enemies. God gave them the power to stand up and be counted. I keep saying that phrase over and over because I think that's what we should be doing. God gave them the ability to overcome. But now notice this, not just with their own strength, but something better. Notice verse 12. And I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword nor with thy bow. God sends the animals, the hornets, to go before them, and the hornets begin to run people out. Have you ever dealt with hornets? I think I've told this story before. Now, these are not hornets I'm going to tell you about, but honeybees. Right down off from my house, when I was about 10 or 12 years old, there was an old oak tree in the middle of the woods that had a hollow in there, and there were wild honeybees. And me and my buddies thought it was the best thing ever, that we would go down on regular occasions with our BB guns. We'd get about from me to Mark, and we'd pump up our BB guns, and we'd start shooting in that hole. We'd do that 4 or 5 minutes, and all of a sudden, you just start seeing the outside of the tree would come alive with honeybees. They just start getting more and more inside the tree. And then sooner or later, because old country boy, we just kept shooting. There would be one that would start flying around. And undoubtedly, one of us would get bit. And we would jump up, and they would be after us. And we would run with everything we had. Lots of times, they'd get on your clothes. They'd sting you. I remember one time, my buddy, he took his shirt off. He was throwing it down, and we thought it was good. When we picked his shirt back up, they started biting him again. They ran us off. That's what he's saying. I'm sending the bees before you, and man, they will not be able to stand it in their houses. They will leave this place little by little, so when you get there, you just waltz in there and enjoy. How good is God? He said, I sent the hornet before you, and you didn't overcome by the sword or the bow, but by the power of God. There's so many instances. You can look back at Joshua 11 or Joshua 10 when the Lord slew more with hailstones when there was a battle than he did with the Israelite sword. And so we know that God is in control. And he reminds them that God is the one who does all these things, that we must trust in him. Let me say that phrase again. But not with thy sword or with thy bow. Now, some may say, well, that means we need to get away from military. No, it does not. Many times God made them to beat their plowshares into swords. He called them to have a standing army on a regular basis. I understand that, and we should recognize that. And they need that army. They need those fighting men. But we also need to recognize in our country that we can have all the technology in the world, but without God, we will do nothing. I look back, and it's been some years, but it was $700 billion we spent in military technology. And the problem with technology is this, that when you build a better mousetrap, sooner or later, there's a better mouse. We can talk about our GPS and all these things, and I'm not knocking any of those things. We need military technology, but without God, we will fail like the rest of the nations. Do you know that Amorites came on the scene? The Amorites learned to make swords out of metal, and they conquered those around them because they were fighting men with clubs, the Amorites, and they kept that as a secret for a long time. But sooner or later, that got out, and that equalized things. And then the chariots came out, and man, those Egyptians, they were conquering everybody until people learned how to make chariots. The same, the bow and arrow came out. That was fine until they learned how to make bow and arrows, and then the gun came. See, you can just keep on having technology, and that's good. But without God, all that is useless sooner or later. We must trust in the Almighty. Isaiah said, "Woe unto them that go down to Egypt for help, that stay on horses and trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong. But they look not the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord." Let us always recognize what God has done and put Him first and foremost. Let our trust be first and foremost in Him as our power to overcome. There's one more point in this same thing. God gave them a pathway. God gave them provision. God gave them power. But God gave them a place to call home. Verse 13, "And I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and you dwell in them, of vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not, do you eat." God blessed them greatly, and God was going to continue to bless them greatly until they turned away from Him. You look at our country today, we are the breadbasket of the world. There is no nation that has ever done and supplied food like us. And we can talk about farming technology, how great that is, but I'm telling you, without God, when God dries up the heavens and God dries up the land, I'm telling you, we will go back to nothing once again if we don't put Him first. All these blessings are from the Lord. James chapter 1, verse 17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above." We got to remember daily how the Lord has blessed us. Psalms 107, verses 1 and 2. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." I wonder, if the Lord's blessed you in the last 10 years, would you say amen? If He's blessed you in the last 5 years, would you say amen? If He's blessed you today, would you say amen? Man, God's blessed us, and we ought to put our hope and trust in Him and remember where every good blessing comes from. We've sang this song before, "Count Your Many Blessings, Name Them One by One." We sing this other song, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, Tune My Heart to Sing Thy Grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise." Well, you may be here thinking, well, I've not really served the Lord, but I'm doing okay. Let me remind you that blessing's for a reason, and that is to turn your heart toward Him. You may be thinking, well, I don't need the Lord. Well, you really do. Matter of fact, Matthew 5:45 says, "That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust." Every blessing is sent to turn your eyes toward Him. If you're here today and not really thinking that you need the Lord, I'm telling you, sooner or later, all the blessings run out. Jeremiah 17:11 says, "As the partridge," or the quail, "sits on the eggs and hatches them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his day, and his end shall be as a fool." Today I wonder, are you placing your security in the Lord? Have you put your trust in Him as your true provider? Have you called on Him to be your Lord and Savior and relied on Him that He may truly bless you? And He so desires. Well, here's the third thing I want you to see. Not only a godly nation at start, and a godly nation and its security, but a godly nation and its continued success. This nation of Israel, its future depended on their desire to follow the Lord. This nation in America, its success depends on our continued desire to follow the Lord. Your individual success depends on your desire to follow the Lord. Remember that Psalms 33:22 I read at the very beginning? Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. So I wonder about our success today. Will we place our faith in him? Will we truly recognize our future comes by him? Here's what Joshua said in 24:15. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. And then he goes on to say, well, the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood, that word flood is the Euphrates River, how it floods. That Abraham came from above the Euphrates River, so it flooded every year. So when they mentioned the Euphrates, they talked about the flood. And so he says, are you going to serve those guys that were above the Euphrates, the wickedness? Are you going to serve the true God? He ends verse 20 or verse 15 with this, in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'm telling you, it starts with a choice of surrender. It starts with a choice to say, I will serve you. A nation is kind of like a church. It's made of people. And so if our nation is going to get right with God, it's the people that must get right. If we're going to be as we should be, then we as God's people need to stand up. We need to recognize that this nation is turning away, but God desires us to come back. And without God, we will be nothing. Isaiah 45:22 says, look unto me, and all ye be saved to the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and through 6 says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. That's not saying that all men will be saved, but he's saying he desires that all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Exodus 18:23. Have I any pleasure at all in the wicked should die? And the answer is no, saith the Lord God. And should not I return for so they would return from his ways and live? God simply desires that all peoples, regardless of who they are, would turn from their way of wickedness and turn to his way. So we need a choice to simply serve him. But a choice to serve him only. Go back to verse 14. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. He will either hate the one or love the other. He'll hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And so we find ourselves in a nation today that tries to serve God. Matter of fact, they would say, well, this is a Christian nation, but you look closely, and oh, my friends, we have begin to serve sin and self. Elijah dealt with the same thing years later. Elijah came to the nation of Israel. And he said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Joshua presented a choice. Elijah presents a choice. The word of God gives us a choice. Choose to serve him this day. Today we look at so many false gods out there, and you say, well, I don't think we're serving Baal, but no, there's the god of mammon, that's the god of riches, and we find that many run toward that. There's the god of Bacchus, that's the god of wine, and he was the god of pleasure. I'm telling you, we have fallen into that trap. It's like picking up the viper. You got to be careful, it will eat you alive. There's the god of Aphrodite or Venus, that's the god of sexuality and promiscuity. You can look at America today on any television set, on any phone, how terrible that has become. There's the god of Mars, the god of war, and it's a sense of bitterness and hatred, the god of bloodlust. There's the false god of Sophia, that's the god of wisdom, that substitutes the mind of man for thus saith the Lord. Proverbs says it like this, there's a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There are many false gods of this world, but there is one true God. If we will serve him, how great that will be. The writer of Chronicles said this, now be not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto the Lord. and enter to a sanctuary which he hath sanctified forever. Serve the Lord your God, and the fierceness of his wrath may turn from you. I wonder today, have we made a choice to surely follow him? It is a choice that must be constant. Notice verse 23. Now therefore, put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. Incline, that is haltal, it means to rest fully. It is to rest in him. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 58 says, that he may incline our hearts unto him, to walk in all of his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, which he commanded our Father. I almost did this, but I didn't. I was going to bring my recliner and sit down just like y'all, amen, and rest for a moment. That's the word, incline, to put your weight on, to put your full body, to put all your strength in that spot. And so he says, incline your heart to the Lord. It starts with that choice, a choice every day. Jesus said in 9:23, and he said unto them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Every morning is a new day. Every morning is a day to choose to serve him. It is not a one-time choice, but a daily choice. A choice defines who you are and determines your actions. You can read Romans chapter 6 and speak about the servant you are based on the choices you made. So let me end with these few things. One, the results of this. One, it's chastisement. If you don't follow the Lord, chastisement will follow. Verse 19. And Joshua said to the people, you cannot serve the Lord. Let me stop right there just for a minute. He was saying you can't. He's not saying you can't serve him. He's saying you can't serve him halfway. You can't serve him while worshiping other gods. You can't serve him the way you want to serve him. You got to serve the Lord like he wants you to serve him. That is true today. You cannot serve the Lord, for he's a holy God. He is a jealous God, and he will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins if you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, and he will turn and do you hurt and consume you. He reminds them it must be done by God's way. It is clear, as you look at America, we are seeing some of the chastisement of the Lord. It is clear to me, if you look at this nation and some of the birth pains that we see today and the direction we're heading, and it's going to get worse and worse until we turn back. Someone said, well, when did we start going astray? And you could look back and say a whole bunch of things. You may say, well, the roaring 20s, when the automobile really made man unaccountable and gave him freedom to do what he wanted to do. Some would say it's in the 60s when the hippie movement and the drug use became so prevalent and consumed the nation. Some would say it's in the 90s when the newly formed internet made things possible to bring all the filth of the world into your house. But most would point in 1963, when prayer was really a focal point in school. Here's the prayer they wanted to ban from the schoolhouse, which really stole it from our children. A 22-word prayer goes like this. Almighty God, we acknowledge our dependence upon thee, and we beg thy blessing upon us, our parents, our teachers, and our country. I'm telling you, since that time, the nation of America has begun to go down. Since that time, this nation has simply turned in the wrong direction. We need to step back and recognize that God desires for us to get back and do those things that will cause him to be high and holy and lifted up in our eyes. You say, well, is there any hope? There always is. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and will heal their land. I look at the nation of Israel time and time again that God blessed them. They rose up. They forgot God. God chastised them. They got to a bottom point. They recognized where they were. They called out from God. He raised up a deliverer, raised up the nation. They did good for a while. Then they lost sight of God, and they went down again. You say, what about us? Well, the nation of Israel is thousands of years old, and we're only 244. I'm afraid that we're fixing to hit our great low if we're not careful and head downward. But that's not the only thing God offers, not just chastisement, but he also gives blessings. At the end of verse 20, it says, after that he had done good unto you. Joshua reminds him that God had blessed. Joshua reminded them that he will continue to do good if they will stay focused. And so in verse 24, here's what their response was. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. They made a statement that they would follow the Lord. Verse 25 says, so Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute and an ordinance. And so they made a covenant with the Lord. Verse 28, so Joshua let the people depart, everyone to his own inheritance. And then finally, verse 31 says, and Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, which had known all the works of the Lord that they had done for Israel. There was a time in Israel's life when there were no more wars. There was a time when God had subdued their enemies. There was a time when God blessed greatly in the time of Joshua and those around him. I think about what happened to them as they turned away and God chastised them. So let's bring it all back together. What does this mean for us? Are we one nation under God, or are we one nation undecided? Israel was a nation under God, and then they lost that. They left that with their indecision. They served other gods. He chastised them and then brought them back time and time again. Let us not be a nation undecided, but let us remain a nation under God. Nations are like churches, not really defined by place, but really defined by people. So the question is, if God were to judge our nation based on you or me, would we stand or fall? If God would judge our nation based on our actions of serving and choosing him, would we stand or fall? Well, the nation may not stand or fall because of you, but one day you'll stand before the Lord and you'll stand or fall based on your choice to serve him or not. Hopefully, you will be a people or a person that puts God first in your life. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads just for a moment. Close your eyes, think about your life. Psalms 33:22 again says, let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in thee. Israel started out with a great hope, following the Lord. And you see what has become of them. Our nation, United States of America, started out under great hope with Christian principles and foundations, and God has blessed greatly, but I wonder where we'll end. All that depends on really us and our generation. So how about your life today? Are you living for Christ or not? Are you choosing this day to serve the Lord or not? If not, let this be the day that you say, yes, Lord, I will serve you. What a great blessing you'll have in your life and the lives of others. Father, today we come before you. We want to say thank you, Lord, for the examples you've given in the Bible about the nation of Israel. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings on this country that you have given us and the things we've seen in our past. Lord, give us a sense of great conviction to turn from the things that are not right and turn the things that you have desired us to do, that we may be a people that are simply one nation under God. Bless the invitation. Let us pray for our country. Let us pray for each other. Let us pray that we would serve you in sincerity and truth. Bless today. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.